Chapter 7. A Simple Gift. The coffee scalded Roy's tongue, robbing him of the taste and making him wince. Still, at least the heat reminded him that he was still alive. He could feel his heart beating and knew that his lungs took in air, but he felt more like an animated corpse than a person. He moved like a machine, barely acknowledging the world around him. Everything felt as though it were happening to someone else. Somehow, he doubted he'd even feel the stab of a bullet if Hawkeye finally lost her temper and shot him. Roy knew he had slept. He must have done, because he'd shut his eyes and when he'd opened them again, hours had passed. He felt anything but rested. His body was locked between the jittery thrill of caffeine and the leaden pull of exhaustion. It was as though he slumbered with his eyes open, completely removed from reality. Everything was within arm's reach, and yet it may as well have been a world away. It had been less than 24 hours since Edward had collapsed on his way to the dormitory, his body finally giving up the fight to hide his illness from them. The doctor had said in grim, earnest words that the Full Metal Alchemist was dying. Nothing could be done. That was the fact that Roy was still trying to come to grips with. There was no last-minute medical marvel. Ed's time was as good as up whether he accepted it or not. Impossible. He pushed the thoughts away, seeking refuge in denial. He could not think about this. Not now. His stomach churned, his head began to pound. He just wanted to forget about it. Never before had he longed so fervently for Edward Elric to barge into his office swearing and raising hell. A painful sound choked in his throat, and he turned away from his desk to let his gaze fall beyond the windowpane. One breath, then another. He had to stop this. He had to stop his mind from running around in circles and moving from one pessimistic realization to the next. It was too easy to be lost in that downward spiral. Night was drawing in, and Roy dimly realized that he had lost track of time. He had barely touched his paperwork, and, for once, Hawkeye wasn't holding him at gunpoint as a result. Other than Al, she was the only one who knew the true extent of Edward's decline. The others suspected something. They would not be his men if they weren't each astute in their own way. Each had noticed Rhys's tense demeanor and had seen the exhaustion of the Brigadier General. They were no fools, and a solemn mood had descended on the office like a storm cloud, brooding and black. Sighing, Roy got stiffly to his feet and shuffled out of the door, heading for the coffee pot. At least someone had the sense to keep it full and hot. He gripped the handle and poured himself another generous mugful, hoping that this would be the one that could pull him back into the real world. Unlikely, but he could always hope. A quiet noise made him turn, and he hesitated with the drink halfway to his lips. Havoc stood to attention, his eyes staring fixedly at the wall behind Roy's head. Breida, Fallman, and Fury were watching intently from their desks, and he got the sneaking suspicion that Jean had been nominated for some kind of unpleasant task. He quickly shot a glance at Hawkeye, but she sat impassively behind her desk. Her modest makeup had long ago succumbed to what Roy suspected were tears, and her hair was spilling down from its usual neat twist. No chance of any help there, then. "Permission to speak freely?" Havoc asked. And Roy noticed that, for once, the man did not have a cigarette hanging out of the corner of his mouth. Wishing he could think of a good reason to decline the request, he gave a sharp nod. "Granted." "Exactly how ill is the boss?" "Boss?" Ed was probably almost a decade younger than Havoc. The fact he outranked all of them except Roy should have caused friction. Perhaps it had at first. But now things were different. It wasn't a simple case of respect or loyalty like the men showed for Roy. Everyone in this office had seen Ed and Al fight for what they believed in. They had taken on insurmountable odds and won. It was as though playing a part in their adventures, however small, had cemented this group together. In a sad way, it was like family. Roy flicked his hand, dismissively, trying to muster some false confidence as his men stared at him with earnest expressions. It's nothing to be concerned about. I think it is, sir. That was fury. The normally calm, dark-haired man had crossed his arms and was watching Roy seriously. Lieutenant Hawkeye has spent most of the day trying not to cry, and you... He hesitated, perhaps realizing that he was moving into dangerous territory, as Roy narrowed his eyes. You've seemed distracted, sir. Ed's been ill before, but you've never reacted like this. And how is that? He asked, his voice dangerously quiet. Fury shifted uncomfortably, but he stood his ground. Like you're losing a friend. Breida and Fallman both nodded their agreement, and Roy found himself feeling curiously vulnerable. Was he really that obvious? He hoped he'd managed to maintain an air of mystery about him, but it seemed he was as easy to read as a book. We know you too well, sir, Breida added, as if hearing his superior officer's thoughts. You can't lie to us. Wearily, Roy wondered if he couldn't have them shot for insubordination. Wasn't there a rule somewhere about questioning your superior officer? If not, then there should be. He looked over at Risa, seeing her shake her head meaningfully. As hard as it was to keep them in the dark, telling them the truth would be disastrous. It was bad enough that he couldn't concentrate. They couldn't afford to have the entire staff crippled by the knowledge that they were losing one of their own. He's in a bad way, Roy managed, the words feeling clumsy on his tongue. He's been ill for a while, and it's just started to take its toll. Since getting Al back? Falman asked, showing the precise intelligence that he had been selected for. He was standing to attention behind his desk, radiating military precision. Still, it didn't keep the emotion from his face, and Roy could see his own fear mirrored in the man's expression. Four pairs of eyes stared intently back at Roy, and he realized that they had probably already figured it out for themselves. Yes. His admission did not need to be loud to have an effect. Havoc's face fell, while Fallman and Fury exchanged a frightened look. Breida brushed a hand over his close-cropped hair and sighed, looking out of the window at the darkness for a moment. Is he going to make it? Of course he is, Havoc snapped back, frowning at the suggestion that it really was the end of the line for the young alchemist. Right, sir? Roy swallowed another mouthful of coffee, keeping his eyes firmly downturned as a wraith of steam brushed against his cheek. Eventually, he forced his lips to move, attempting to find some suitable words of reassurance that were not an outright lie. He was awake when I left him. His throat tightened as he struggled to concentrate on the positive. He was even arguing with the doctor. That doesn't answer the question, Havoc whispered, as Roy shut his eyes and turned away. He could feel the concern coming off his men in waves. Was it best for them not to know? If the truth was not worst-case scenario, if their darkest fear were not reality, then he would have leapt to reassure them. But what could he offer? Nothing. He couldn't even console himself. Distantly, he heard Risa get up from her chair, and her steady footsteps moved over the hardwood floor. We don't know if he'll survive. Her voice was firm and strong, and Roy looked up to see her neatening her hair with deft fingers. The only thing I am certain of is that Edward is not going to just lay down and die. His illness is severe, but he will fight it with everything he's got. We all know him well enough to be sure of that. She nudged a stack of precarious paperwork back from the edge of Havoc's desk and flicked off the lamp. None of us will do Ed any good by staying in this office all night long. We need to go home and get some sleep." The protests of the men were cut short as the door banged open, making the occupants of the room jump. Reza's hand flew to her gun, and Roy swore as he slopped hot coffee over his fingers. Everyone looked up in surprise at the Elric in the doorway, and Roy wondered how many of the others felt a flash of disappointment when they realized it was not Edward. "Sorry," Al said softly, his intelligent eyes taking in the startled officers. "Is Ed here?" "I thought he was in hospital," Fury asked as the others shook their heads, suitably confused. "He waited for me to fall asleep and then discharged himself." Ed's voice was clipped and heavy with disappointment. Still, Roy knew that he wasn't surprised. They had both known that Ed would release himself from under the doctor's care. It had simply been a matter of timing. His teeth clenched in annoyance, grinding together as he took the forms from Al and looked at the curved form of Ed's simple signature. The twin letter E's were clumsy, belying the exhaustion of the man who had held the pen. "Idiot." "Fallman, get out there and find out if anyone's seen him. Havoc, check the dorms, and take Brito with you. If he's not there, then check the library. Fury, ring around the other offices. Maybe one of the other divisions knows where he went." The men leapt into action, taking more reassurance from the firm, competent orders of their commanding officer than they had found in his previous words. This was the Roy Mustang that they knew and respected, and it was a welcome alternative to the broken man of a moment ago. "He is all right in the head, isn't he?" Brita asked quickly, tapping a fingertip to his temple. "I mean, Ed's not confused or trippy on drugs, is he?"
"No," Al said darkly. "He knows exactly what he's doing."
"Someone wake up Armstrong. We'll drag Edward back here by force if we have to." Roy's threat had a firm ring to it, and he saw the others hesitate as Hawkeye crossed her arms over her breasts and cocked her head to the side.
"You're behaving as if you think he's going to do something stupid," she said quietly, narrowing her eyes questioningly.
"This is Ed we're talking about," Roy snarled. "That's practically a given."
The lieutenant nodded in acknowledgement of a point well made, but her lips were still pursed tight.
"I mean something specific. We'll be able to follow orders more fully if we have all the information, sir. What do you know that we don't?"
Al shifted uncomfortably, chewing anxiously on his lip before answering in Roy's stead. "It was the gate that made Ed ill. He's planning to go back and force it to give him a cure."
"Would that even work?" Fallman asked, scratching his head.
"If the gate was confusing to alchemists, then it was a complete mystery to the common man. The people in Roy's group knew more than most about the portal, but they were no experts."
"It doesn't matter to Ed. He'll make it work or die trying," Al replied, "which is why we have to find him before he gets there. He promised me he wouldn't do it tonight, but..."
He shrugged, leaving the sentence hanging as he shook his head in confusion. The others caught his drift. Ed normally kept his promises, but there was always a first time for him to go back on his word. Swiftly, the room emptied, leaving Hawkeye, Roy, and Al standing among the desolate desks. Fury had already picked up the phone and was engrossed in seeking out the information they needed. He pushed his glasses up his nose and began scribbling in precise shorthand as Roy asked the question that had been preying on his mind.
"Is he any better?"
"Well enough to walk," Al said, his frustration barely contained. He flashed an apologetic smile at Roy and carried on. "I'm not sure what hurts more. His body or his pride. He's acting like the gate is a living thing that's open to negotiation."
"You said yourself that what was happening to him was more of a punishment than a price. Doesn't that suggest some kind of sentience?"
Roy asked gently, not wanting to provoke the younger Elric more than he had to. A man would have been blind not to see that Al was the calm influence on Ed's temper. What most people did not realize was that, in Ed's absence, that same short fuse tended to flare in the younger brother.
"So you think he's right to do what he's doing?" Al demanded, pacing over to Havoc's desk and absently throwing Jean's cigarette butts in the bin. "It's already taken so much from him. There's only one thing left."
His broad shoulders slumped.
"If he finds his way to the gate, he won't come back to us."
"Thinking in worst-case scenarios isn't going to help," Risa said quietly, her voice soothing as she tried to force them to focus on the present, rather than the possible future. "I know it's late, but don't you think you should call Miss Rockabell?"
Roy looked sharply at his aide as Al frowned in confusion.
"Winry? I don't want to worry her about Ed."
"Alphonse?" Hawkeye sighed, pressing her fingertips to her brow. "Sometimes you have to think of yourself. Winry will help you whatever happens. You know that."
A faint smile tilted her lips. "Besides, if Ed is going to insist on being stubborn, then she can knock him out with a well-aimed wrench." Snatching one of the phones off the cradle, she held it out to him until he accepted the receiver and began to dial.
"Are you sure that's a good idea?"
Roy asked, as he moved to stand by Risa's shoulder.
"Winry isn't exactly a calming influence."
"Sir, if the doctor's right, then Edward is going to get worse rapidly. Al needs someone who knows him almost as well as his brother." She swallowed, and a glimmer of tears flickered along her lashes. "You can't help the dying, but you can help those who are left behind."
Roy tried to block out the conversation taking place only a few feet away. Hawkeye was right. They could all only help Al so much, and the Rockabell girl was the Elric's one link left to home. Their childhood friendship with the young woman had cemented itself fast through the years. It would be best if she were here. A quick glance at his watch told him that she would probably be on the last train out of Risenpool. It would still take her days to reach Central, but her presence would be better than nothing. Al needed someone there for him, and it was a hole that no one in the military could fill. Al finally finished the call, having to reassure Winry as best he could without blurting the truth over the telephone. Throughout it all, he had been quiet and calm, but Roy knew that Winry wouldn't have missed the tremor in the young man's voice.
"She's on her way. She'll be here by the end of the week. I just hope that's not too late."
"We won't let it be," Roy replied flatly, feeling his heartache at the thought. Winry would be there for Al, but there was still the undeniable truth that there would be no one to help ease his own pain. It was his alone to bear, and he knew he would have to find a way to live with the void. In a way, it was almost as though Ed was already dead. From the moment those words had left the doctor's lips, it was as if Fullmetal's fate had been sealed. It was a bitter, pessimistic thought, and while Roy loathed its presence, he knew it was a way of protecting himself. Expect the worst, and then he would not be surprised when it happened. Fury put down the phone with a clatter and tapped his pencil against the desk as his lips moved in silent thought. The boss was seen leaving the building about an hour ago. He was heading for the library, but the staff there say they haven't set eyes on him. He's not in his usual spot, so unless he's hiding, then he didn't make it. Kane cleared his throat nervously, stammering slightly, as he noticed how much Al's face had paled.
"Sorry, that came out sounding ominous. What I meant, sir, is that he can't be far away."
Roy nodded at the shorter man and reached for his coat.
"Get the others and tell them to meet me in the precinct outside. We'll track him down ourselves."
He did not wait for a response as he swept out the door, his footsteps echoing along the corridor. This was better. His anger simmered in his veins, bringing back with it a spark of vitality. Its heat was a part of him, an undeniable fragment of who he was.
It made him feel alive. He had to marvel at the influence Ed had over him. That the infuriating alchemist could cause so much pain and so much anger in the space of a day was unreal. Had it always been like this? There was no answering thought, and, with a quick shove, he pushed open the main door and stalked out into the plaza in front of Central Command. The security there watched them with interest, no doubt taking in the cluster of deep blue uniforms with some trepidation as they congregated in the square. The flame alchemist was intimidating enough, but with the others right behind him, there was no one who wanted to stand in his way. Major Armstrong saluted smartly, his mustache twitching as he fell into step. His uniform jacket was straining over his muscular physique, and Roy grinned coldly as the sentries hastily got out of their way. "Report," he snapped over his shoulder. "We double-checked the dorms," Havoc called out, his voice distorted by the hurry of his footsteps. "No go." A few of the other officers reported seeing him in the hallway. Fellman added. One of them did say he looked a bit edgy.
"Probably thought he was going to get hauled back to bed," Frida pointed out, panting slightly as he tried to keep up with Roy's quick stride. "Ugh, I shouldn't have had second helpings at dinner."
"Concentrate on the job," Hawkeye snapped, her boot heels clicking loudly as she strode along. "No one saw him between command and the library?" "Only the sentries, and they didn't follow him. Do we actually know where we're looking?" Fury asked. "Or are we just going to tear the town apart?"
"It's tempting, but probably not the best idea," Roy replied as he pulled on his gloves. A quick click sent a spark into the air, and he nodded once, satisfied. "Al, where are your brother's hiding places? Where does he go when he doesn't want to be found?" There was a brief silence as Al hesitated, no doubt trying to think.
"Ed's more the confrontational type. I don't really think he has any hiding places."
"Not that you know about, anyway,"
Fellman pointed out softly, his tone gentle. They both had a good point. If Edward had a problem, then he was normally upfront about it. There were still dents in the plasterwork in Roy's office that could attest to the young man's volatility. Yet, when the brothers fought, it was a different matter. It didn't happen often, but Roy could easily remember at least one occasion where Ed had vanished for over a day, and not even Al had been able to root him out. The wind stirred, escalating into a gust that rustled the tree branches and set the gate of the nearby cemetery squeaking and clanging in its grasp. The noise set his teeth on edge, and he scowled at the offending ironwork. Shouldn't that be locked at this time of night? Neat little lanterns lined the fence, casting soft light into the confined space beyond. But there were no living souls beyond the gate. He stopped suddenly, grunting as Havoc barreled into the back of him. Jean mumbled an apology and withdrew a cigarette, placing it between his lips out of habit as he followed Roy's gaze into the dark recesses of the graveyard. The yew tree at its center waved forlorn branches at the sky, and the clouds above were starting to dissipate. The moonlight didn't show much, but the sight of the tombs was enough to remind Roy about the bundle of papers Hawkeye had handed him at daybreak. Damn. He paid no attention to the flinch of surprise from his men. It wasn't often that he swore. It was another bad habit he was picking up from Fullmetal. "Al, I don't suppose you thought to pick up Shezka's report, did you?" "No, it was on Ed's bedside table."
Al stopped, realization dawning.
"Oh."
"Yes, oh. Come on."
Roy pushed open the gate, quietly, letting the somber air of the hollowed ground wash around him like a tide. He felt the others huddle at his back, instinctively drawing closer as they eyed the graves with trepidation. "You think Ed came in here to investigate?" Al asked, squinting around for any sign of his brother.
"It might not have been his original intention, but if he was heading to the library, as the sentries said, then he would have walked right past those gates."
Roy shrugged, clicking his thumb and forefinger gently to conjure a small flame.
You know as well as I do that he would have read Shezka's report. Perhaps he found something probative, or maybe he just saw something suspicious. It would explain why he didn't get as far as the library.
Behind him, he heard Hawkeye draw her gun. With a confident click, she pulled back the safety hammer and aimed it into the darkness.
You're making us a target, sir.
She nodded her head towards the flame.
It's that or not be able to see.
It's your hand they'll shoot, she warned with an indifferent shrug. Her sharp eyes trying to pick out any threat between the neat rows all around them.
Man, this place is creepy, Frida whispered, twitching in surprise as a squeak of car tires reminded them that they were not too far from civilization.
You sure the boss came here?
We have to check, Roy began, moving forward, grateful for the massive bulk of Armstrong at his side. Not that there was anything in the graveyard to attack them, he hastened to add, but it was reassuring all the same. There wasn't much that could take down the strong-arm alchemist.
Stay close, he ordered, looking behind him to see that his men were responding with a mixture of open fear and grim determination.
Breida's hands were bunched into fists as he faced backwards, defending the rear. Havoc's cigarette hung limply from his lips, and he kept his eyes fixed on the expanse of tombs that stretched away to their left. His gun was still in its holster, but one hand hovered nearby, ready to draw it at the first sign of trouble. Fury was keeping towards the center of the group, which was probably the best idea for the young communications officer. Combat was not exactly his strong suit.
This place isn't haunted, is it? Havoc asked, trying to sound unconcerned and failing miserably.
Roy rolled his eyes. He had forgotten the rather superstitious nature of some of his subordinates, and he carefully intensified the flame in his hand.
It's a graveyard. There's nothing here but bodies.
Dead bodies, Frida added with a touch of horror.
It bothered Ed as well, Al said quietly. His hands were pressed together in front of his torso, and Roy could see the flicker of alchemy tracing its way around the young man's fingers. I don't think it helped that he fell in an open grave, though.
Havoc snorted, and the other men chuckled quietly to themselves. The mounting, insidious fear dissipated as quickly as it had begun.
Is that how he ended up covered in mud? Felman asked. No wonder he was furious.
Al nodded. We left pretty quickly after that. His smile seemed a touch strained, and Roy wondered if they shared the same thought. It was odd how the world worked. Now, knowing what they did, it seemed a touch prophetic that Ed had stumbled into an open grave on the same day his ill health had made itself known. Coincidence, of course, but it was still an unsettling idea.
Sir!
Hawkeye's one word made him twitch, and he spun to face the direction she was looking in. The muzzle of her gun pointed the way, and he lifted his hand higher, letting the light spill across the ground. There, in the back corner of the graveyard, was a freshly dug hole. Either it was another robbed grave, or someone had been doing a bit of impromptu burial work. As one, the group edged towards it, their attention focused completely on the gaping pit. Roy could smell nervous sweat and the faint, clean smoke of the flame that burned in his hand. A gust of wind stirred his hair, and he blinked dust out of his eyes as he tried to see what lay in the dank depths. With a quick gesture, he motioned Hawkeye and Havoc to break off. Moving with oft-practiced skill, the two soldiers circled around, approaching from opposite sides before lunging forward and aiming into the darkness. With a sigh of relief, Hawkeye let the safety on her gun drop back into place.
All clear. It's empty.
There was a general relaxation throughout the group, and Roy swallowed tightly. He had to admit that part of him had expected to find Ed in that tomb, and he felt weak with relief that it was nothing but an empty cleft in the ground. Armstrong picked up a shovel, hefting it as though it were a matchstick.
"There's timber on the edge," he said,
his deep bass voice rumbling among the gravestones as he picked a few splinters free.
"There are tire marks out here," Thalmann called from beyond a small gate in the corner. "Wide and deep. It doesn't look like a normal car."
Roy hunkered down by the tomb and looked around, trying to see any indication of Ed's presence. Had he left them nothing, not even the slight clue as to where he had gone?
"I need a sign," he muttered.
The explosion ripped the air apart, shaking the ground and pitching him off balance. He managed to fall backwards rather than forwards into the grave, but the inferno was enough to leave his ears ringing. Looking up, he saw a broad flash of alchemical power shoot into the sky, pushing its way into the clear night before it winked out of sight. In the wake of the roar was a hollow silence. Only the suck of air rushing inwards stirred the night, and Roy struggled to his feet. He stared in the direction of the blast, trying to picture the city in his head.
"Was that in the warehouse district?" he shouted, trying to hear himself over the squeaking in his ears.
"Probably. It didn't look like a chemical-related blast." Hawkeye picked herself up and dusted herself off, wiggling a finger in her ear as though to clear her hearing.
"I think that was the sign you were looking for, sir." "I think you're right."
He broke into a run, leaving the others to follow his lead. All military order was gone as each of them found their own pace. Their footsteps clattered down the empty streets, arrhythmic beats in the darkness. Roy could hear the blare of sirens and gave a grunt of annoyance. That was just what he needed, the police interfering in alchemist business. The tinny sound of the vehicle bells rattled off the walls and bounced down the alleyways, creating a disorienting confusion of noise. The destruction was clear even from a distance. One of the buildings had been torn apart. Rubble lay strewn in a landslide of stone, and a hearse was on its roof near the roadside. Dust was still falling in a soft cascade, drifting to settle like dirty snow on their shoulders. Amidst the mess of destroyed masonry, one section had remained clear. The massive scroll of a complex array was just visible on the floor, its lines shattered apart by huge cracks and distorted by scorch marks. In its center, a dark-haired man knelt, concentrating intently on the body in front of him. One hand was wrapped around the flesh wrist, but there was no mistaking the cool steel of the youth's right arm. The dull rumble of more collapsing debris made the stranger look up, and Roy staggered to a sudden halt. It couldn't be. He blinked in quick succession, trying to clear the apparition from his eyes. It remained stubbornly present, and Roy's usually ordered mind scrambled to find some logical explanation as he stared at the friend he had thought he would never see again. Mace Hughes looked back at him, his lean face breaking into a grin of recognition as his glasses winked in the streetlight. The joy on his face was unmistakable, and Roy felt an answering smile tug at his own lips. He shook his head in amused disbelief. Hughes never changed. Laughter, half hysterical, bubbled in his chest, and he moved towards Mace at a quick stride, noticing with relief that Al was already at his brother's side. "Set up a perimeter," Hawkeye barked, drawing her gun again and training it on Hughes as she approached. "Tell anyone who gets near that this is under our jurisdiction." Her words jerked the other stunned officers into action, and Roy scowled in disbelief.
"What are you doing?" he growled.
"Just being sure, sir," she said quietly, as Mace got to his feet and raised his hands in surrender. A wry smile curved his thin lips, and green eyes flashed with amusement as the two of them approached.
"Same old Riza," he said gently, seemingly not bothered by being on the business end of her Browning pistol. "Although, you've left the safety on."
She didn't even blink, but Roy thought he saw a quick flicker of something like laughter in her eyes. "Can't fool me that easily, sir. Can you answer some questions for me?"
"Checking I'm not a homunculus?" Roy asked, shrugging in agreement as he winked at Roy. "I'm glad someone's thinking straight."
"What's your wife's name?"
"Gracia Hughes."
"Her maiden name?"
"Locke."
"How old are you?"
Hughes rolled his eyes and shook his head. "Too old to want to answer that question." "What's your favorite drink?" Roy asked, letting a grin part his lips. He didn't need an answer. He knew that the man in front of him was no copy. In every characteristic movement and the lilt of his voice, it was obvious. He was the genuine article. Hugh's eyes darted to Roy, and the faint smile spread fully.
"Fenling's brandy, well matured and in a big glass."
He looked over his shoulder, and Roy saw a flash of confusion across his face when he saw Al kneeling at Ed's side.
"Now, I've got a question for you," he murmured, his face becoming serious. "Have you got a car here? Because we need to get Edward somewhere safe."
"I'll commandeer one," Hawkeye said smoothly, lowering her gun and rolling her shoulders to ease some tension.
She saluted smartly, as if friends coming back from the dead was an everyday occurrence, and hurried away. Roy smiled to himself as he heard her shout to the others, telling them to concentrate on their work and stop gawking. Hughes reached out a hand, and Roy saw a flash of nervousness in his friend's eyes before he shook it warmly. In an instant, he was pulled into a crushing hug, and he managed a choked laugh as Mace grumbled.
"This has been the strangest day I've ever had." "I think I can say the same thing," Roy pulled back, taking in everything from the flush of life in his friend's cheeks to the gleam of disbelieving joy in his eyes. "You're really alive." "I should hope so, because if this is the afterlife, then it needs some work."
Hughes gestured at the destruction and the familiar sprawl of Central that hemmed them in on all sides. Mirth flickered across his features, but beneath it, Roy could see the confusion and fear of being pulled back into the land of the living. Time had carried on without his friend, and he could barely comprehend what must be going through his mind. The screech of a car taking a corner too fast made them look up in time to see Hawkeye skidding to a halt at the edge of the destruction. Roy's eyes fell to Ed's still form, and the smile slipped from his lips as the seriousness of the situation came crashing back full force. There would be time for a joyful reunion later. Right now they had to get out of here.
"Can he be moved?" he asked cautiously, crouching at Al's side. "What happened to him?"
"I wish I knew," Mace replied quietly as he hunkered down. "I have no idea what was going on. But it was Ed who got me out of wherever I was. He was wounded, with badly broken ribs and a deep cut here." He ran his fingers down the line of Ed's throat.
"Then they just vanished. He was talking to me for a while, but he blacked out a few minutes before you got here."
"Vanished?" Roy echoed in disbelief, noticing that the black eye and grazed knuckles from the previous day had also been erased.
"Do you know anything about this?"
Al shook his head. "I don't even know what it might mean," he said quietly. "He's just sleeping, but I can't get him to wake up." There was a moment of silence, and Roy saw recognition and amazement flicker across his friend's face as he took in the dark blonde boy who knelt in the mud and gore.
"Al?"
Mace's voice was hushed, as though he couldn't believe his eyes.
"I didn't recognize you."
"Well, the last time you saw me, I was a 7-foot suit of armor," Al pointed out softly, grinning when Hughes chuckled. "Brother got my body back a couple of years ago now." Mace glanced down at Ed's sleeping face, his expression fond and serious.
"You know, I'm beginning to wonder if there's anything he can't do."
"Probably not," Roy murmured, carefully slipping his arms under Ed's knees and arms before lifting him gently from the gory ground.
"Let's get out of here before they start asking difficult questions."
Edward's blonde head rested on his shoulder as he walked towards the waiting vehicle, taking care not to jostle the sleeping alchemist.
Ed's breathing was a steady trickle against his neck, intimate and reassuring. The solid, steady thud of his heart against Roy's chest was a continuous beat, unfaltering and strong. But there was no sign of wakefulness as they picked their way through the debris. Roy knew that Hughes and Al were right behind him, neither willing to leave Edward's side. It was unbelievable in a way. Those two embodied the impossible. They were living proof of what could truly be done with the power of alchemy, at least when it was in the hands of a prodigy like Edward. As gently as he could, he and Risa lay Edward along the back seat, resting his head in Roy's lap and his feet in Al's, as Mace climbed into the front seat and twisted around to face them. Now, in the gloom of the car, a faint blue light was giving the air an eerie glow. Taking off his glove, Roy brushed Ed's hair out of his face, frowning at the array that fluoresced softly, waxing and waning in time with Edward's pulse.
"Get to the hospital," he ordered quietly. "We need to get both Ed and Hughes looked over before we do anything else."
He left his hand resting on Ed's shoulder, letting his thumb sweep back and forth in an absent caress as he stared out of the window, trying to find some kind of rhyme or reason to the events of the night. Only one stark fact stood out clearly in his mind. Whatever had happened in those short, dark hours, he would never be able to repay Ed for bringing Mace back. He had returned something precious to all of them. There was nothing in the world equivalent to the simple gift of life restored.